Okay, well, it is Friday night, the 17th of November, I think, and I'm on the line with activist Carol Denny, who's, wow, you've had some strong things to say about an issue that really is important to you and that it's been getting some mixed treatment, to say the least, in Street Spirit about the issue of tiny houses. You want to brief us on this, Carol?
Yeah, anybody who is homeless, interested in issues regarding homelessness, or interested in housing, or watching what's happening in California and nationwide knows that tiny houses, meaning houses that are technically substandard, are being promoted as kind of a housing savior. And I've been an opponent of this because my feeling is nothing has really changed. Human being bodies have a certain need. They need heat. Yeah, you need a place to cook. You need a place to store your stuff. There's a certain amount of things that you need. Oh, you need to go to the bathroom. Let's not forget that. And because of all that, there are requirements for that which is called housing. You cannot rent, for instance, your garden tool shed in your backyard for $3,000, as one of the city council representatives in Santa Cruz did, and get away with it because it doesn't have these requirements. It is not housing, and it is not fair to exploit the housing crisis by charging people money for what is technically, under the law, substandard housing. And you get fined for it, you should be prosecuted for it, but the courts are busy, God knows, attacking people like me and prosecuting people like me. So, what are you going to do? I have been an opponent of tiny houses because they are not what they seem. They are an effort to require less of wealthy landlords at a time when we should be asking more of wealthy landlords who are getting so rich. This is a great economy for the wealthy. And what I just discovered after a week of being in trial in Superior Court on false charges of assault is that one of my heroes who was in the courtroom today, you know, to support me in during my closing arguments, was Osha Newman, who is, I think, last time I checked, was the director of the East Bay Community Law Center, supporting the Youth Spirit Artworks, which is a nonprofit group in Berkeley, effort to build like 100 tiny houses for 100 homeless youth. Now, doesn't that sound lovely? I gotta say, I know why that is appealing to people, because we have youth, young people, sleeping in doorways, sleeping under overpasses, like sleeping in their cars, sleeping every which way, because we don't have enough affordable housing. But instead of using this crisis to pressure the wealthy to take less profit, take the profit out of housing. That's, I guess, the primary thing. Get the profit out of housing. Make profit out of, like, charging for a $16 cup of coffee or a $25 craft beer. Let them do that with things that we can actually not need to live. But when they do that with housing, people end up in doorways. We've got to differentiate between the luxury items and the necessities. And instead of doing that, they're allowing, apparently, I just read for the first time on Berkeley's site this article, which I only scanned through because I, like I said, had an ugly day in Oakland, Alameda Superior Court. But what I saw was that Youth Spirit Artworks is building its own tiny house, and then thinking big about building 100 more of them in some vacant lot.
Now, Youth Spirit Artworks is the group that now controls Street Spirit.
It controls Street Spirit and will take over completely, I guess, probably in next month, December of 2017, or maybe January. All I know is that technically they are the publishers right now.
And Street Spirit, of course, is a monthly paper that has been going since, 1995.
Yeah.
And it's been sort of the East Bay San Francisco equivalent of the Street Sheet, which is somewhat longer tenure. But a lot of articles by about folks outside who are unhoused and, the kinds of discrimination they face and the kind of conditions that are put them in jeopardy.
It's a great combination of writers, people who are homeless, people who are homeless poets, people who are poets, people who are like me. I've had housing on and off through my life, but I've been particularly interested in the way that the housing crisis has been exploited, and I've been watching it for, as long as I've been alive, pretty much, as long as I've been capable of writing articles about it. I've been published in a variety of places, and I was so happy to be welcomed into this, what at one point was felt like kind of a family, the harbor of people who were artists, graphic artists, and writers who worked for Street Spirit. And Terry Messman, the gifted and talented editor of Street Spirit for many, many years, was funded through most of that time by the American Friends Service Committee, AFSC, who decided to defund it about a year ago, throwing everything into chaos. Like, what were we going to do? And Youth Spirit Art, I have probably had this wrong, Youth Spirit Artworks, under the directorship of Sally Hyneman, came to the rescue. Now, she also was one of the people who started Street Spirit way back when. The idea was to create what they hoped would be and became, certainly, a really great publication with great articles about public policy, homelessness, anecdotes, stories, poetry, graphics, an interesting publication to pick up to and from the market or walking about town that would enable people who were on the street with very little to amplify any income they did have and or have some income if they had none and have a more dignified exchange rather than panhandling, with no disrespect intended to panhandling.
Right, and Street Spirit is still, I spoke with J.C. Orton, who's the main distributor.
Right.
It helps people. I guess the price has been raised to $2 now.
Yeah, which is no problem for most people in Berkeley.
Right, and people now who are selling it have to pay, I think, either a nickel or a dime a copy to get the copy to sell
right.
for $2.
There's an affirmative exchange now where people have to buy in, but there is also an arrangement whereby they can pay that back if they happen to be straight up broke mm-hmm. the beginning of this arrangement.
Now, are you still writing? I know about 6 months ago you expressed these same concerns and said it might lead you to have to say, no thanks, if I understood.
Thank you so much for bringing that up.
Yeah.
Yes, I am still sending stories, but I am no longer getting paid. I'm no longer getting copies of the paper. I'm no longer getting consulted, as I once was, as the human rights editor about the scope of the paper, the hopes for the paper, I guess we used to look forward together and try to organize toward an affirmative vision. I'm no longer. We're no longer invited to have the kind of editorial advisory meetings. All of that is gone. And I want thank you for that question, because right now I don't know whether to write that in the other publications I write for, which I'm tempted to do. But what I will do before I do that is talk to you, because I respect you so much for the work you've done, the organizing that you're doing with other groups. I wanted your opinion of this. I really do not want to be part of criticizing something if I don't have all the facts. But what I feel like is happening to me is I'm just being exploited, and I don't want to be. I just don't want to be exploited. I don't want homeless people to be exploited. I do not want to be used to build ghettos, tiny house ghettos for children.
So
when
now,
I think that is an imperfect strategy.
Is Street Spirit actually, I mean, I know there have been articles supporting tiny houses as well as the occasional article, yours, criticizing the notion, but are they actually involved financially in these projects? I think you may have mentioned something about that when we began our conversation.
Well, apparently the publisher, YSA, Youth Spirit Artworks, is positioned to go forward with city involvement in villages that are specific to youth, specific to what they call tiny houses, which actually technically, legally, has no definition at this point. So it's a very difficult thing to criticize from a legal standpoint. But when I saw Osha Newman's name on it, I knew there was a big change. Because Osha Newman, I've never seen Osha Newman support something that was so wrong.
Now, for the benefit of listeners, of course, Osha Newman has spoken on this station before about the pending lawsuit defending the rights of homeless folks whose property is being seized by different authorities, whether they're police or, I don't know, BART or Caltrans in the Bay Area.
Absolutely. He's deeply respected in this community.
He's an old-time, you know, he's an artist. He was a member of the the motherfuckers, so to speak, the group in New York, he wrote a book about it. And of course, he was on the Police Review Commission and got beaten by the police about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And as frequently, I don't know how frequently, but he certainly has been a supporter legally of folks who can't defend themselves on homeless issues. Although I've got no sense recently about how true that's been. I know I've interviewed him occasionally, but, you know, he always seems very, very busy, which he is, I know.
Well, he is very busy. Yeah. He's also very practical. He's also very idealistic.
He's also an older guy.
Talking to him, I have no idea why he would support something that seems so violently counterproductive as a village of tiny houses for homeless youth.
Well, it's probably the lesser evil theory, but, you know, you pointed out to me earlier in this conversation other alternatives that could be undertaken that activists could press authorities to do. Why don't you talk about those?
Berkeley booted, you know, its more rooted conservatives off the council and has a city council so receptive to arguably progressive points of view that this last Tuesday, even though I spent all day in Oakland Superior Court, I went to the city council and spoke on behalf of two items which are crucial, one of which will send an affirmative welcoming message to the Police Review Commission to prepare a charter amendment to strengthen its powers. And that means, like, if you work hard, you can put this on the ballot, and we will support it. We will not oppose it. That was crucial, and they did it. They did it unanimously.
Now, what would that strengthen?
A lot of hard work.
What would that strengthening be? Just to divert a bit from a moment from the tiny houses.
Okay, the strengthening of the Police Review Commission involves its powers, which right now could be utilized by the city manager, but are not being utilized by the city manager. The city manager is sitting back and going like, I don't know, I think the PRC is fine. And the PRC should not be sidelined by that kind of thing. The PRC should have access to relevant data, relevant reports. all of the questions that they need to answer about, this was the second item, racial disparities in uses of force in stops of drivers, racial disparities in policing. Right now, there's a lot of information that they don't have because it's just not a part of what they're required to report by virtue of the city manager, and they can change that.
Now, hasn't police review in Berkeley, which, you know, it was originally kind of, you know, cut off at the knees in the 70s when the courts essentially cut into the community control of police initiatives that were passed, but you did have the power in Berkeley to independently subpoena police officers, as we had in Santa Cruz, but never used.
You are so beautiful, Robert. You are one of, God, I would love to, like, fill a ballroom with the very few people who know as much as you just said and have a beautiful dance. Because, you know, it's a relatively small group of people who know what you just said. It's true that as soon as the Police Review Commission, as this charter was passed, it was challenged, and a certain amount of power just went right out the window. But it can be restored by a charter amendment.
And also more power, of course, was destroyed in the about 10 years ago by the
Copley decision.
Exactly. You want to brief us on the significance of that for the PRC and what it means
I
now? And they wouldn't tell you the consequences of those decisions.
Well, sometimes you'd know at least whether or not your complaint was sustained. But you wouldn't know why. You wouldn't know who said what, when, how. Like, it was like watching a black box. And so I used to, before the Copley decision, I would shepherd people through the PRC, trying to help them. It was Byzantine enough in those days. After the Copley decision, my argument became, you know, if we don't complain about the abuses of the police, let me assure you, because I've been to these PRC meetings, what they're going to do is turn to each other and say, well, hey, ain't nobody complaining. We must be doing a righteous job.
Or else we're not necessary, which is what the Santa Cruz
or
City Council
we're
did.
Not necessary.
And they
excellent
just,
point.
And they cut
That's
it off
why
completely.
I called you tonight. I thought, I got to hear this, man. I got to get your perspective. If you don't complain, if your complaint system is never used, if it gets no exercise whatsoever, it looks superfluous, and it's costing your city some money. So they're going to, especially people who don't like in the first place, they're going to say, get rid of this thing. You know, we would rather have a volleyball court in the backyard.
Or alternately, they will tell you, oh, this is just a bunch of sort of, you know, freaky radicals who are complaining.
It's a bunch of kale-eating, bedwetting liberals.
Yeah,
get rid of them.
It's malcontents who just don't like our police department and don't like police under any
right.
circumstances and
if
so
you
forth.
If you care about the police treating you fairly, you hate the police. That is kind of their approach about it all.
Mm-hmm.
All I can say is.
So the latest wrinkle here is that there is some, you think some meaningful reform could come out of an initiative, or does it require?
Oh, I would not go that far. All I'll say is that thanks to the glorious clarity of the few people who do care, is and giving special credit to Chris Worthington and Kate Harrison on the Curtin-Berger City Council, who probably both support tiny houses. All I can say is, you know, you got to take what you can get. They maneuvered the current chief of police into a position where he knew he would lose his job if he did not support these two modest reformative efforts. And so he supported. He was there not in opposition, but to just offer clarity about points of law.
So what are these?
And I saw that was what was happening.
What are these changes, Carol, that are being proposed?
Okay, one of them, the first and simplest, is an effort to clarify racial-based disparities in uses of force and stops, and such that what we had found before was that there was a certain amount of data that we just didn't have. If we want to have an honest reflection of what is going on in our town with respect to racial disparities, we need the data to make that clear. And they did not offer any opposition to that after resisting and resisting for at least a couple of years.
Now, what data is currently available that would be augmented by this?
You can only get these data on if a weapon was used, in other words, a taser or a gun, or if there was, there's another condition, and I'm forgetting what it is. In other words, it's a very specified, restricted set of circumstances under which you can get data about race.
Now, in San Jose, Carol,
what we're doing is basically opening it up so that data is available.
In San Jose, as you may know from, you know, reports you've probably read, that, or I've read anyway, that there's been a clear indication that, you know, Hispanics and African Americans get stopped at a much higher rate, searched more than
us. It's true in Berkeley as well.
Us whiteys. And that information, I'm not sure if that came from what I regarded as largely a toothless police auditor in San Jose, which is similar to our police auditor.
Well, it might have been more than that. The inspiration for this was partly from a UCLA study that requested and enlisted other police departments to participate in a wider study about the potential for, as I understand it anyway, which is probably imperfect, the wider potential for racial disparity. And Berkeley is one of the participating cities. I think there are about seven. And the thing is, each of those police departments have different rules about the data they keep. And what we found in the city of Berkeley is that they're only keeping data if there was a weapon or if there was, and I can't remember the second condition, but I had it a couple days ago, and I think I put it into an article, which I think is up on the Berkeley Daily Planet.
Well, you know, it's interesting. At least you're a little step ahead of Santa Cruz. I just, 2 days ago or 3 days ago, we were finally reviewing Parks and Rec citations, mainly against homeless people sleeping at night or being in a park after dark.
Wait, say it again. You were doing what?
We were reviewing data, the infraction citations of.
Good for you.
And, well.
Yeah,
we were reviewing them, and we found that almost invariably, although with a few exceptions, they would not even mark the little box for race one way or another.
Yeah.
And we had to review these citations individually, because when we asked for a matrix of name, officer, offense, and then the address of the person who was being cited, so we could see if there was some, you know, specific focus on homeless people, which there was, of course.
Ah.
You know, they gave us all that information finally, although we had to actually go through citations 2 or 3 years ago by hand to get that information. Well, I didn't do most of it. I did some of it. Other people did most of it.
Uh-huh.
But this time, of course, they omitted a couple of other key items. One was the race, and that's kind of what I was mentioning, kind of in contrast to what's happening up in Berkeley. And I'm wondering, has anybody done any Public Records Act request to look at the infractions being given out by the police officers of Berkeley or another law enforcement agencies? Did you know
it? Has anybody looked at the infractions, what, with respect to race?
Well, in other words, have you looked over the actual citations that were given out? Because that's public record. I mean,
it is public record.
Yeah.
But you are limited. I guess the point that Kate Harrison of District 4 in Berkeley, she's a city council representative, who was pointing out that unless a weapon was specifically noticed in a police report as having been used, that would be a gun, pepper spray, something like that, there was no record.
Well, there's got to be a record, but maybe there was no report made by the police officer.
It wasn't included in the report that was required to be a part of the UCLA study. Now, that's my innocent assessment of what was going on, but basically what she was saying was there were huge holes in the data. If we want an honest report, and the preliminary report from the data we had about these were stops by the police, clearly showed racial disparity. The use of weapons by the police clearly showed racial disparity. But she was pointing out that we don't really have an honest report until we have all the data, and we don't have it because look at this big hole, look at that big hole. They had carved out, and probably for innocent reasons, I'm going to at least allow that, carved out huge holes in the data, and so that I'm sure this will end up being a problem for the UCLA study that they're attempting to do.
We don't really know what these holes are in the sense of you don't have a sense of what categories of data they're not providing.
Right. So part of what's happening in the city of Berkeley, and the police chief made a good. Now he's trying to lean in. At first they tried to say you don't get our data. You don't need our data. You don't get our data. They were so resistant. And so the ACLU stepped in and said, we are making a legal request for, yes, the data and the race and so forth. And they got it. And they did their own analysis of what the Berkeley police was forced by the courts to release. And the disparity was evident. And that became a story.
No, you should get our ACLU
to do the
same.
Okay, I'm leaning in. I'm going to help you. Like, let's work together. Let's give you the data you need because he looks bad. And so he was at this most recent city council meeting this last Tuesday where I had spent all day in Superior Court being mischaracterized as a violent person. But I came there anyway, as did many, many people, just to say, hey, thank you for leaning in, Mr. Chief of Police. Mm-hmm. And, let's get the data we need so we can tell an honest story. Mm-hmm. So that is the real story of what just happened with police review is, yes, they're going to do that, and the Berkeley City Council unanimously, after being battered by the best, meaning Chris Worthington and Kate Harrison, admitted that, yeah, we need to improve a police review commission where people go in and then they're invited to watch a blank black box.
Now, are there activists on the police review commission? I remember Aaron Handel used to be a colleague of yours at one time.
That's right, many years ago.
And I don't know, are there people on the board you recommend that I might contact in order to get more information?
Yes.
Because it sounds like
the very best information about it. I'm so thankful to say, yes, there's more than one, but I'll just give you two. Mm-hmm. And one of them is George Lipman.
Yeah, I know him.
Has been the chair and has worked tirelessly and is probably the most patient man ever born, mm-hmm. who can tell you the state of things. And they just had a meeting, and I did not manage to last to the end of it, so he would be the most valuable person to contact regarding what happened Wednesday night, because if everything worked as the clockwork he tried to design it to be, what happened at the city council went straight to the PRC, and if he is still the chair, which he was at one time, something might have happened.
Well, if he isn't, I can probably find, he can probably direct
That's
me to
right.
someone who is.
Contact yeah. is
I've actually,
co-founders
I've,
of Copwatch, you know, and now of the PRC.
I've actually interviewed him before, I think. And
oh, good.
He's yeah, our, and I guess Andrea Pritchard of Copwatch would also probably
Andrea
be in touch
Pritchard
with that.
Andrea is now on the Police Review Commission, which is a miracle. She made the most important point I think I've ever heard on Tuesday.
And what was that?
She pointed out that, hey, if you work for Costco, or you work for Walmart, or you work for some huge, stupid company, some big corporate nightmare, well, you have goals. You're given goals, like what's your goal for working here? What's your vision for 5 years in for your division of this company? What's your goal? She pointed out that the PRC had asked simply for the police department's budget for the city of Berkeley. What's your budget? Like, what goes where? How much money goes to this? How much money goes to that? And the BPD, the Berkeley Police Department, took so long giving them that information, months and months giving them information, that it was well past June, which is the actual time when the fiscal year is up and they make definitive recommendations for the budget of the Berkeley.
Now, is that standard, Carol? I mean, in the 20 years you've been, more than that, you've been following this, and the PRC's been in existence for 30 years.
Clearly.
Have they always been delaying on the budget? Does the PRC
know? Oh, no, I've never seen this before. This is news.
So
this is big news, and she made it big news by pointing it out.
So
she has my hat. I mean, she has my accolades.
Well, but so previous.
She pointed that out, but she also pointed out something much more important. Don't focus on that. Like, they stalled on the budget. Okay.
But let me ask, before you go on to that, I mean, has that been generally the case throughout the?
No, I've never seen that before.
So in the past, this PRC has regularly made a request, and it's been done in a timely manner.
I'm not saying that.
Oh.
I'm not sure the PRC has ever made that request.
Well, that would be very peculiar, but I hear you.
I've got to say, there have been years after the invention, the creation of the PRC way back in the day, 30-odd, maybe 40 years ago, that the PRC was created as a combatant against police abuse. And so there's been this push and pull between the two agencies. And then, oh boy, did they make friends. At the point at which I was covering this regularly for Street Spirit and other publications, you'd go to a PRC meeting and, oh, it was the month where there were three birthdays in one month, the commissioners, and they would actually have three separate birthday cakes and just have a big birthday cake feast in front of you.
It sounds like Santa Cruz. I mean, it was the fact that our Police Review Commission, which was called the Citizens Police Review Board, simply wanted to make friends with the police.
And,
yeah, you know, and that's why that's why I worry when.
Can I braid your hair? Can I do your nails?
You know, when you tell me Andrea, when you tell me Copwatch's Andrea Pritchard has joined the PRC, I get nervous because I find these institutions change the people who get on them. That's the problem.
An excellent cautionary note, Robert, because that may be the case. If she starts doing Greenwood's nails, I will let you know.
Good.
But right now, what she did was say, you know, in most corporate settings, you have goals. You have visions that you want to achieve, and you are trying to set goals. And she invited the council just to dream about seeing the police department in a different way, instead of just being there, which is one way to be. were being there and hoping that next year you could take the 20% of people who don't trust you, who think you're fucked up, and reduce it to 10% because you treat them with respect, because every time they interact with you, you're fair. What if we could change into a community of people who could afford to cooperate with the police force because they were fair with us, instead of just brutalizing us and using everything they could think of to do to set us up and frame us? Imagine that. And I gotta say, that really struck me as someone who was shortly to be tried in Alameda County Superior Court.
Well, you know, it reminds me, however, of a song I heard from a singer whose opinion and whose music I much respect. In fact, it's the name of her album, The Rich Will Never Be Poor. So don't hope too much there, Carol.
It's so true, but it's also true, at least in my life, that in order to effect change, you don't need everybody. Because most people are dead asleep, or they're watching TV, whatever they're doing. They're painting their nails. The changes are affected by a smaller ratio of people who are almost never obstructed by the group that's asleep. The group that's paying attention and the group that can affect change does not have to be a majority. They just have to be good leadership. And that's us. That's certainly you. That's certainly me. And I firmly believe that the Berkeley City Council has now a new minority of really superb leadership, really extraordinary leadership.
Leading the way with tiny houses, perhaps?
Well, that's what gave me pause. It wasn't just Osha Newman, whom I've always respected, lauding tiny houses. It was Kate Harrison, who knows better. So, yes, tonight it's about 10:15 as I'm speaking to you, Friday night. 11-17-17 in the new Trump administration's era. And before I go to bed tonight, I'm going to leave calls with both of them and say, look, I love you, but what the F is this about you supporting, what, a ghetto of tiny houses for the poor rather than getting rid of Airbnb in Berkeley, which I got to say would cover every single homeless person, whether they're young or not, in the city of Berkeley. You would cover them if you would get rid of Airbnb and absolutely require anybody who ever applied for that to be quartered. I mean, that's legal in America. If you have a housing crisis and you have an empty room, you should harbor somebody. That's how radical I am. I'm like severely radical, but I never hurt people or abuse people or, like, what are they accusing me of? Like, they're accusing me of throwing hot coffee on people. It's absurd.
Well, I wish you luck in that trial.
I
take it you're getting more supporters than just Osha Newman, hopefully, in the courtroom?
I had a good six people there, sober, well-dressed people. It was lovely.
And this,
with all due respect to my non-sober friends.
Uh-huh, indeed. And this whole incident came about as a consequence of your defending a pregnant woman who you felt was being obliviously victimized.
No. I just routinely, if I'm in a smoke-free area and somebody's smoking, I routinely let them know that they shouldn't smoke there. And sometimes they punch me out and I wake up looking at clouds in the sky. I gotta say, I don't care if that's how I die. I really don't care because, hey, that is the modern version of being a knight in shining armor. Speaking up against secondhand smoke, which I gotta say, as of the science of 50 years ago, is deadly and of which there is no safe dose.
And the jury is out on your case and what, in two counts of assault, two counts of battery?
Oh, you're right.
And you also, but the substance of that, which sounds
sure are pigs.
It sounds very legalistic, but what it really means is you are accused of what appeared, as you described to me, to be an incident where coffee got spilled and you both got splattered. Is that right?
Yeah, this guy hit me after I picked up his cup of coffee because he was just ignoring me because he was smoking downwind from a pregnant woman and me. Mm-hmm. And he hit the coffee out of my hand. It hit the ground. And then he called the police arguing that I had thrown the coffee at him. And the police were so eager. Oh, man, this was just what they needed.
And they jailed you for what, 3 or 4 days, you say?
It was at least 4 days. I think it was 5. And the only reason I got out of there is Osha Newman.
And you weren't
Osha
able to
Newman
get...
Osha Newman came down. He's one of the few lawyers whose number I have memorized. He came down and argued like, this is a mistake. What's going on? And they do respect him. So,
but because of you,
all right. But check this out.
Before you say that, Carol.
Please let me finish.
Go ahead.
They let me go 7 miles from where I live, and even from the Berkeley jail, without any money, without any of my property, without any ID, without the shoelaces for my shoes, such that if I took one step, my shoes would fall off. They let me go at dark at the bottom of Oakland in, right around this area where, no, you can't walk. After 4, maybe 5 days in jail where, oh, man, all I did was throw up. It was so bad. And I got to say, isn't that enough?
Well, they also were able to successfully separate you from any witnesses who might help you at trial, right?
Oh, bingo. There's no way you can investigate an incident that happened on the street and try to round up witnesses after that many days have passed. You know, thank you for being so on top of this ugly world. Mm. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for your activism.
Well, I'm simply reciting what you told me earlier. I appreciate the credit.
True. It's just that right now I'm feeling really thankful for the... I thought tonight when I finally got home, I just thought, who can I call and rail?
Mm.
And
you could rail at me, and you did. That's
well,
okay.
Well, I did, but I also, I really care about. I do not want landlords, the richest class in California, to be offered an opportunity to offer so-called housing without heat, without bathrooms, without cooking facilities, without storage. This has never been done before. And what scares me is that people who think of themselves as righteous, people who care about the poor, being participants in what I see as very long-term theft. I do not want housing standards dumbed down just because you're, what, young? Just because you're what, poor? That's wrong.
And we will be covering more of this soon, the next time we talk.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
You haven't had much sleep. You can get some rest. And
yeah, I should. And thank you so much for taking my call.
Well, no. Thank you for coming on the air and talking.
Hey, glad to talk to you, Robert. I really appreciate it.
I hope it helps. You're helping us. Thank you.
All right. Take care. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, babe. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.